We just bow our heads because, again, without the Lord, you know where we're going to get, right? You're going to get flesh, and I don't want that. So, Father, we just humble ourselves, and we ask you to just release out of me what you have already stored in there. And out of that bank of information, give them what they need, Father, so that they can go home tonight and be refreshed and renewed for your glory. In Jesus' name. Today, the Lord was pressing again that there needs to be an understanding that our Savior did not come to bring condemnation. And that was the word that kept pouncing in over and over about people condemning themselves. And it was verified because of a couple of phone calls that came. And both were in the same vein. And so I'd like to take you to John chapter 5. And we're going to start. In the NIV, it says, life through the Son, with verse 16. So, also to keep in mind that he's dealing with the Jews that are filled with the law. So, life through the Son is the heading, and that's living in the body of Christ. Many people live, but they live outside the body. And what I mean by that is they're connected, but they only connect part-time, when it's convenient or when it's comfortable. What happens is this. If you're connected on a full-time basis to the body of Christ, what's going to happen is this. It's like walking into an ER, and everybody knows what to do and how to do it. The doctors don't have to yell at the nurses. They automatically go right into function. The technicians walk in, they know exactly what to do, and they go right to it. The assistants go in and they do what they need to do. Even the cleaning people will make sure that they don't disturb anybody that's busy doing life support systems. Jesus is intending for his people to be ready to function at the drop of a hat. And many are looking for somebody to do something for them, and they're saying, I don't feel completed. The reason for that is because they're not in the ER long enough. They go in, and then they stay away for a month, 2 weeks. And I'm not putting guilt on anybody now. That's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to teach you something. When you're constantly working in an office atmosphere, and there's 30 people or 10 people, you know what to do. You don't need to have a checkup with the boss every morning unless that's part of your job. You just go to your seat, you do what you need to do, and you do your work. Do I get any amens? Okay. I was in business for 20 years. My people that were regulars, I didn't have to tell them what to do. They automatically knew where to go. They knew where the boards were for the deliveries. I didn't have to say anything. It was done. Why? Because they knew what to do. I had trained them. I didn't expect to come back and retrain them every single day. Amen? When a child comes home from school and he's been trained to take off his school clothes and play clothes put on, do you have to say it every time? If they're young, yes. But when they grow up, hopefully they're going to have some kind of knowledge of what to do and when to do it. And some parents don't give them any rules. I can remember going to a friend of mine. They had 5 children. My wife and I would visit there, and there was absolutely nothing to do. My 2 boys thought it was the best thing because there were 2 girls there. And those 2 girls were really on the job, and I mean, there was nothing to do. We sat at the table was set, the food would come, the girls would serve, the mother would serve, my wife would help, and us guys, we enjoyed every minute of it. We'd go to the other house, and there was an equal amount of children. Not one knew what to do or when to do it. The mother had to do it all, and she was a slave to the whole house. And I'll tell you, the house looked it, because it was all left to her. So there was no discipline. My job as a pastor right now is to give you insight. An ER, a house, a farm, a business, a corporate structure functions when people do what they know how to do. And it works well. But somebody's got to hold you to the task. So, verse 16. Because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. See, he wasn't listening to the authorities of the flesh. He was listening to the realm of the Spirit, which is your job. Your job is not to look at, is it Sunday or Monday or Tuesday? It's when the Lord says to do, you're to do it. It will bring persecution from religious folks. Okay? And it brought persecution from the Jews. Verse 17, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Now, what is kind of his work? His work is to set the captives free, isn't it? It's to declare the day of freedom, the Jubilee. That was his purpose. He came to set the captives free. Okay, why? Because they were in bondage. Okay? Now, verse 18. "For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him." Now, that's a wonderful thing for a guy who's coming to bring freedom. "Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Unacceptable in that day. Unacceptable in that day. Now, has that tradition continued?
Absolutely.
That has continued in almost every church in the world. All the religious systems still basically conceive the same level. Not that they're doing this with knowledge. They may not be doing it with any knowledge at all. But as far as their relationship with Papa, it's not there. They are in a works program. Okay? They don't know how to function in that ER. They don't know how to function with a corporate headquarters. They haven't got a clue. They have a book, and they have instructions, and they follow the law. Okay? And I'm not criticizing them. I was there. I lived it. Okay? Now, 19. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, which is in the realm of the Spirit, because the Father is Spirit. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, some of you have received the knowledge that there was problems on the earth." That's not printed in this book. But I'm giving you insight as to why God gives revelations, why he gives pieces of info to you, scripture. He may give you a vision. He may give you a dream. He may give you something else to wake you up. Pray for him to keep you on your toes so that you'll be able to function as part of the body. "Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." Now, that's going in another kind of a space, and I don't want to follow that, because if we do, we're going to lose the message. "Moreover, the Father judges no one." Notice, 22. "Moreover, the Father judges" who?
No one.
"No one. But has entrusted all judgment" to whom? "To the Son. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Now that irritated them to no end. Because you see, he was really saying, I'm Papa's kid. And what Papa's been showing me is that these people are hurting. And some of them have died prematurely. And he went around doing good, giving them an option that they could fall in love with the people that they served. But they weren't interested in serving. They were interested in receiving service. They didn't want to lose their position. What was their position? They were the authorities of the day. They loved their place of authority. Just like you listen to some of the political people now. And some of the religious people aren't much better. You know, and I'm not accusing. I'm just telling you what I see. Anybody else see what I see? Okay. If you see it, it's okay. I tell you the truth, 24. Whoever hears my words and believes him, who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned. Simply, if you know the one that loves you, you will not receive condemnation. He has crossed over from death to life, so you're no longer under condemnation where you lived before you knew the Lord, and you come to life. 25, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Does it say only those who are believers? No. Does it say only those who have a relationship with him? No. But those who have done good will rise to life or live. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now that's a little scary. Verse 30 simply says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And I could go on. But I'm trying to give you the word about condemnation. Condemnation will come when the final judgment is here. For those who have believed in the one that sets them free, he will keep them free. For those who have really criticized the God of heaven by sending his son and not accepting him are going to have a problem. Your job and my job is to stay obedient to the one who sent us. Who brought you to life? It's him. If you don't know him well enough, it's time to knock on the door. If you're having a problem in an area, knock on the door even harder. Because he will set you free. Now in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. That one verse can transform your life. Just one verse. Because if you're living in constant awareness of your failures, you're focused on number one, self. Self will betray you. Self will get you in trouble. It'll find fault with everything around you, including yourself. But the one who set you free is the Lord. And he's making it clear, for those who are in Christ Jesus, how'd you get into Christ? How'd you get into the ER of life? Are there a few emergencies around you? Are some people dying around you? Are some people having a problem around you? If you're alive, you must have a few people that you know that are struggling. Do I get any amens?
Amen.
Okay. So if you're doing your job and you are aware of the Spirit of the Father that's inside of you, you don't need headquarters to bring down an SOS with flashing lights. All you need is the awareness, this person is really bleeding to death. I think I better pray. This afternoon, Peggy and I had an appointment. The man couldn't move his right arm, and he's advertising. He's advertising that he's right-handed, so now he can't move his right arm at all. He can't write. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his teeth. He went into details, and I'm saying, God, what are you trying to do here? Okay? So we listened, and we listened, and we waited, and all of a sudden the Lord said, offer him to pray for him. So what does he do? He tells us about his connection to an occult person that he goes to get relief from tension. Well, I didn't shake my head. I just said, I understand. Now, if you have a lot of tension and you go to someone that is involved with what they've learned, and they're going to teach you what they've learned, they're going to teach you what they've learned, and you're going to pay the man, and you'll get some relief temporarily. Yeah, that's right. He did say for an hour. It works for an hour. So now, Peggy and I prayed for him. And to his surprise, he could move his arm. It wasn't perfect, but he could move it. And he was surprised. And we gave the glory to the Lord. Now, what's God going to do next? I think that's up to the Lord. We did our part. God will do his part. And if he wants that man here, he'll do whatever he has to do to get him here. But if he's not, we've given him a taste. Now, how many of you have gone to the ER before and you finally got just maybe a major revelation of something's wrong, and then they wait a few days and they send you for surgery? Yes or no? Or they'll give you medication and hope to go home and in a few days you feel better. It's happened to me. I remember one distinct time I was telling that to a friend of mine that I had brought my father-in-law to the doctor, and on my way home I found myself with tremendous pain in my spine, you know, my back, and when I got into my office I told my wife, please get me to the ER, and I went to the ER, and the pain was absolutely unbelievable. And there was a stone in the conduit from my kidneys going down. And the minute the doctor said, I want x-rays, the nurse was already standing there with the hypo, okay? And she was about to give me some relief. The minute the words came out of the doctor's mouth, every ounce of pain left. It was instantaneous. And she's now ready to, you know, she's prepared my cheek, and I said, no, I don't need it. She said, what do you mean? I said, I don't need it. It's gone. I said, but I want the x-ray. Because I knew. I've been praying as long as I, you know, probably close to a half hour, solid in spirit, and there was no relief. But the minute the word, see, the word is what it took. What the word was doing is it was going to discover what was hidden. And the rest is not important. What is important is I went to a place that would bring me relief. And the church someday is going to be a place where you will receive relief. We are here for that purpose. We're training for that purpose. We're not here just to please ourselves. We're here to prepare. You say, well, you know, that's work. Well, good heavens. A good company runs its employees through what? Basic training. Amen? It's just common sense. But if you are constantly feeling guilty about yourself, tell me who you're going to focus on when you come back in here next week. You're going to be focused on your pain and your problem. You're not going to be focused on helping others. And the scripture also says that while you pray for others, God will heal you. So what are you doing? You're in a corporate structure. You're in an ER type of place. God will see to it that those are hurting around you will be taken care of. It won't stop until you just rest with him. There's one more verse that I want to give you. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, but got to give it to you. It's in Romans 8:34. This one is absolutely incredible. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. So why should he bother to be angry with you if he's interceding for you? It's out of whack. It's totally out of whack. You shouldn't be condemning yourself constantly because you're just not doing it the way he wants you to. Okay? Also, there's one more. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. So you need to check in your memory bank before you walk into the ER. And all those old things that you still concentrate on, get rid of it. Verse 22 is even as sweet. Isaiah 44:22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Return to me. Why does he say return to me? Because what have you done? You've focused on yourself instead of focused on the one that is the Lamb that took care of everything. So would you do me a favor? Look at a neighbor right now and say, I'm all done beating myself up. Done. No more. Papa took care of it. My big brother's in charge. And he's interceding for me. Can you see me changing? I'm part of the body. Healing is already happening. Because when I'm not guilty, I can receive. Hallelujah. When I'm not guilty, I can receive. When you're loaded with guilt, don't think you're going to get anything from God, because all you're doing is just bouncing on yourself. Please don't do that anymore. And by the way, if you love your neighbor and you hear them crabbing about themselves, just kind of say, you know, you're my brother, you're my sister. Just don't do that anymore, okay? The other day, my wife said something about herself, and I was very angry, and I said, Irene, she looked at me. I said, you're talking to my wife. She says, so? I says, if I married what you just described yourself, I'm in trouble. They were bad words. I just made sure that she understood that, hey, you're my wife. Why should you pick on yourself? And those words you just said are not very kind. They're not kind at all, especially if I have to live with you. Amen? Close your eyes, put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I need a lot of grace.
Lord Jesus, I need a lot of grace.
Because some old habits need to be going down the drain.
Some old habits need to be going down the drain.
No more condemnation.
No more condemnation.
My Jesus already took care of the details.
And
I'm going to rejoice. Because he's done a work.
And I will receive
this victory tonight. I'm in Jubilee tonight. My Savior paid the price, and I'm going to enjoy the results. I'm rising out of the grave
of self-condemnation
by grace. Hallelujah. Share some lives with each other.